All right, here we are. There it is. We finally got power. We got the power. Yeah. Everlasting power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power. Ever working, everlasting power. Take it away. Take it away. All right, good morning. We've hit this December. What a good month. It's a month to finish up strong, isn't it? Finish up strong. So I'm going to be finishing up from where I was speaking the other week on above reproach because I didn't get through there. There's just a lot in there to dissect, to break down, to see how we are and who we are and our shortcomings and things. I was talking to my teenage boy who's 16 this morning. And I was telling him about why we need a man. You know what I mean? Who you going to hang around? I like the cliches that if you want to, the people say, well, if you lay with dogs, you're going to get fleas, right? Well, that's a good point. Some people say if you want to be successful, if you want to be a millionaire, you hang around millionaires. And what's happened in society and the things are, if you want to be a man, you're going to hang around women. Is that right? But no, you want to, a boy needs to be around his daddy. He needs to hang around. And she was wanting me to talk about oil changes and stuff like that. I said, listen, that's fine. I'll teach. I mean, I got an oil pit. You know what I mean? I change oil. Do that stuff at the house. Tractors, dump trucks, vehicles, except a Toyota. I don't do my Toyota because it's got the cartridge stuff in there. You got to take it out. So I take it to somebody else. It takes a lot to do that. I don't have time to do all that. So I can take it to a garage, and they can do that a lot quicker than I can because you got to take off all kind of stuff just to get to it. And then it's a cartridge, not a regular oil filter. You know, it's like paper. You got to pull it in. I'm not a tedious kind of guy. I don't like to work with paper. I like to work with steel and hard stuff, stuff that don't tear up easy. But I told him, I said, if you want to learn how to do these things, then guess what you need to be doing? You'd be hanging around. That's how you learn stuff. That's how I learned stuff growing up. Hung around my dad. Not because I wanted to a lot of times, because there was a lot of work involved. But I had to. You know, he was my babysitter. And he utilized child labor. If you got boys, girls, whatever, you're going to put them to work if they're going to hang around. But the thing is, if they don't go hang around, you're out there by yourself. So it works both ways. But I was getting on to him this morning a little bit. I'll just release a little bit of it. He took a shower this morning. Well, he should have took one last night. You know, my wife didn't come to church. I had Jubilee. She had I don't know what's going on. She had a stomach bug going on or something. So anyway, but normally, Mom and Daddy, we take a shower in the morning, right, before we come. Well, you know, if we take too many, we're going to run out of hot water, right? Y'all know the deal. We're not privileged folks here, are we? Everybody got their own shower and hot water heater? No? It's good to have that. You know, one day I might get there. But I went in, I said, Josh, listen, I know, you know, you're good this morning. You took a shower. I'm sure I'm going to have plenty of hot water. But you're 16 now. You don't need your mama telling you when you need to go take a shower. You should have took one last night and be considerate of other people around, not knowing that everybody wasn't going to church this morning. Or you would have went and mama said, well, I told him to do that. I said, well, whatever. This is man talk. You know what I mean? Mamas will coddle their little boys. Don't you know that? They will. It's okay. But listen, I'll get into that later. I'm having a conversation with this boy. He's 16. He needs to know when he's going to take a shower and everything. And he also needs to learn to be considerate of other people in the house and not take up their time or their shower. So that was a little conflict this morning. So I was like, Josh, when you got... Let me tell you, on the way to, you know, church this morning, I was like, you understand where I was coming from, right? Yes. do you feel like I was getting on to you? No. I said, good, because I was instructing you what it is to start growing up, to be a man, and be considerate. I said, because in God's eyes, one day you're going to have a family of your own. And you will be the head of that family. And you need to make decisions. Now, if you don't go through things on your own, I said, here's the difference between a mama and a daddy. The mama will pipe up and answer real quick to protect their little boy. A daddy will watch them struggle to get through things. And I said, son, I'm always in the distance watching. If I think that you are in trouble and you're not going to make it, I'll come into the rescue. But I'm not coming in early. I'm going to allow you to go through things so that you understand what it takes to be a man, to make decisions on your own, to make choices, to persevere, to overcome. Because one day you're going to be doing that for your entire family. And if you don't experience it now and learn, it's going to be messed up like a lot of things are in this world right now, out of order. Maybe that's part of being above reproach of who we are and what we're supposed to be, our roles and who we are. Now, it's not because, oh, we're going to do this with those students. No, it's just order. I said, let's go all the way back. Let's go back to Jacob and Isaac and Rachel. What's up? What happened there? What happened with Esau? Where was Esau at? Why was Esau favored by Israel? He hung around him. He knew what type of stew he wanted. He knew what he liked, his dad liked. Where was Jacob? I mean, not Jacob. Yeah. Where was he at? Isaac was with mama. So he didn't know about dad. But see, what did mama do for him? And I told him, I said, Josh, look what the mama did. She interfered. And she coddled him, and she made a way that he would do something that he did not do on his own. So he didn't understand what it took to be the one with everything, the inheritance. Just because you want to get the inheritance, it does not mean that you understand how to handle it and how to delegate it, right? So if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to go through these things. But not only when you get to, you understand what it takes to be a leader. I always tell a lot of my kids, what makes a good leader? You know, it's not a trick question, but a lot, you know, y'all can try to guess it if you want to. But the answer, I'll go ahead and give it to you, okay? For time constraints, we'll just go ahead and do it. But what makes a good leader is a great follower. A great follower. What does that look like? When did Jesus tell the disciples, and they start calling themselves what? Apostles. When did they graduate? Through the course of their following. Now, I wouldn't even say that a lot of them were great followers. Did they mess up? They did mess up. But see, Jesus still sent them. And that's what an apostle is, one who is sent. Because the one who's in authority says go. Right? He sends them out. Are they going to have bumps and bruises? Yes. Can you run over there and put them, like, you going to put a Band-Aid on them every time they get a little cut? My little girl, she's got a little thing on her finger. She reached herself, her hand in her pocket, and had a little wart or something on her finger. She don't like to talk about it, but and it tore it. And her fingernail was bleeding all. Daddy would say, girl, it'll be all right. She's a girl. I probably should have went and got her a Band-Aid, okay? But look, I'm still a man. I'm still a daddy. Even though I got a bunch of girls, I still want them to be tough enough and understand where it is. And a lot of people say, well, you better get your shotgun ready. for these little girls. I said, no, I ain't got to worry about that. The boy who wants to hook up with these girls is going to have to be one heck of a boy. They're going to handle their own business, you know. You lead them in a way in the path they should go. So here we are going to a reproach. Why does the Lord want us to be above reproach? Same thing as he's sending us out just like he did them. We have to walk this walk out. Are we going to make it with flying colors, with no accusations? No, because we have an enemy out there looking to see who he can devour. And he is called the accuser. So you're going to get some accusations. People's going to come against you and your leadership. Or just your sonship, so to say, women too, of who you are, who your daddy is. That's who they're going to come against. I was talking to my other daughters, like, you know what? That's how you're going to be known, because that's how they were known. If nobody knows who you are, but, you know, if you're coming up through the world, oh, you such and such boy, right? You're such and such daughter. They'll know your parents or they'll know your grandparents. So if you stay in a community long enough, they're going to know your ancestors. And so that's who they're going to look at you as. Whether you're walking in their footsteps or not, that's who they're going to collect you to and relate to you to. Now, who is your mama? Who is your daddy? Who is your grandparents? Is there somebody you want to walk in their path? My older brother. 22 months, he was 2 years, you know, ahead of me in school. He wasn't who I was. My brother was a nerd. I wasn't, if you can believe that or not. No, that's not me. He got picked on. I roll in, oh, you Billy's brother. And they come in on me, oh, pop, pop. I'd pop them. God knew where it was going. You're not going to do to me. I'm not that guy. But because they knew him, they thought all of a sudden that's who I was going to be too. That's how it's going to be. So when we call ourselves Christians, oh, let's go there. What's the world going to look at you as? More than likely, they're going to look and see you as the product that they've met or seen before you. Therefore, it's an overlay. And it's to the point now to where I always say, man, are you a Christian? All right, let's go there. No, I'm not a Christian. You know what I mean? Because I know what you're about to overlay on top of me. Because we have not set a life above reproach as a whole. As Christ followers. That's what I want to look at. I can't say I'm a Christian because Christian means like Christ. Christ-like. Have I achieved that? I haven't. I haven't achieved it. And probably the only time that I will achieve to be just like Christ will when I draw my last breath and I'm completely in Him. Because that's what the scripture says. When we see Him, we will be as He is. Now, I've kind of seen Him already as my walk and growing and in my relationship with Him, but I'm not there yet. Okay, I still battle with this flesh. I still battle with this carnality. I still battle with worrying about what people think. Is that good or bad? Well, it's like a swinging door. Should you be concerned of what people say about you? Yes. Yes. Yes, you should. But also, should you not? We'll on through here. That's all right. Oh, it's all right. Come on in. Yeah, the water's fine is what it said. But should I also should not worry about what they think too, because that's going to hinder the way I'm going to follow through and proceed with things that I know what I need to do with, or it's going to be working. Like I told my son this morning, listen, I get it if you're scared to fail, But you cannot let that keep you from failing. I said, I failed 100 times in my life. And I kind of retract the statement or added to it. I said, maybe 1,000 times I've failed. Well, maybe 1,000,000. I don't know. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care about failing. Because I know eventually we're going to work it out. But it's fear of failing is not going to keep me from producing something or going after something that I need to do. Yes, sir. How do I address it? I said, I am a follower of Christ, and I'm trying and following to be like him. I had students, in when I was at Polk County High School, I was doing ISS, you know, which I loved being a teacher in the ISS room because I had a captive audience. And I hate it when they only come in there for like a period. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I want all dayers. I want people. Where's the real bad kids at? I want these people who's going to be here for like 3 days. I remember back in the day, I was in there for like 3 days in a row, you know, several times. But I never could get out of school suspension, which that was good because then I had some explaining to do to the parents. When I had ISS, I could still go to school and never really told my parents I was in suspension. I had my share of paddlings. Yeah, I used to get tore up. They knew me by my first name on that part. And if I had anybody coming in after me, those teachers probably would have retired. Well, they're supposed to, you know. I wish they would have followed up more on me because I'm telling you what, I was up for expulsion and my family didn't even know it. I'd beat them home and get the mail. And I'd burn it and trash it, you know what I mean? They didn't even know. I got to repent, don't I? Confession. So that's just the conniver that's in us. You know what I mean? We're going to try to do what we can, push the limit. That's why you can't just let kids do. You got to teach them, and they go through things, and you got to be there. So anyway, when I'm sitting in ISS that day, and one of the she was a female. She said, "Oh, I know you. Here you are in here, and you're that real, real Christian teacher." So the words got out, huh? But I said, "No, I'm not really, really that a real, real, real Christian teacher." Because if I was really, really, really a Christian teacher, I would really, really, really be like Christ. And I said, if I was really, really, really like Christ, then there wouldn't be no blind people around me. There wouldn't be any deaf people around me. There wouldn't be any dead people around me. You'd be seeing all this stuff come to fruition. She's like, what? Blew her away. But I said, but what I am is a believer and follower of Christ. I'm following. And if I can follow greatly, then one day I may become a good leader. And I think that's probably where we get stuff messed up, where Paul was talking about that we may know him in his death and resurrection. That I might get to that point one day. That I will know him in his fullness of what that really looks like to be a true follower. And where he says, you know what? Go. To make that apostleship. Even when he says go, you know, you can't run around like what Paul said. He never said, well, I'm Apostle Paul, and you will address me as that. See, have you learned your lesson yet? Just because you got a title, does that put you above reproach? Because we know reproach means blameless. Is basically what that means, to live a blameless life, to where the accuser or anybody around you, when they make a proposal or an accusation against you, does it have any validity? Is there any substance to what they're saying about you? Whew, is that a lot of pressure on us? Is that what we focus on? You know, like Pastor Terry says, you know, if we focus on not sinning, then it's great. If we focus on not sinning, guess what we're going to do? We're going to end up sinning. Our focus should be on what? Him. So that's the same thing. If I can't focus on, man, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I got to make sure I do this right. Do this. People are going to come at me. They got to make it. I got to do this. No. You're not going to be above reproach or blameless because of what you do. You're going to be blameless and above reproach because who he is to you. To you. Because who he is to you. The pivotal question, I always bring this up, and I don't know if I ever get off of it, the pivotal question on the man. Who do you say I am? It's what Jesus said to the disciples. Who do you say I am? Because in that question, if you don't know him, who are you going to say he is? If you've not encountered him, who are you going to say he is? Who is Jesus to you? Because that is what makes a difference in the world. That's what makes a difference. Not what your mama and daddy says. Not what your pastor says. Who do you say he is? And in that question is going to dictate your path of your life. When you know there's something that you shouldn't do, like I was talking about up there, running red lights. If you know there's a red light in your life, don't run it. Why? Why would you not want to run a red light? I'm running late. I can't wait on it. Pastor Terry's talking about what was went to Bojangles or whatever. Well, they gave him too much, and he went back with it. They're like, what are you bringing me back? This food. It's not mine. I didn't pay for it. Hallelujah. I was wondering if I was going to be able to get through this without my glasses. When the light's down, I can't hardly see good. But when the light's up, I can see, read. Yeah, stay in the light. So it's what we do with things keeps us. There's those little things like that where other people won't know, you know, but who knows? He knows, and he knows your heart why you're doing them. Not because I'm a goody-goody two-shoes, right? Not because I think I'm better than somebody. It's because of who he is and what he's doing in my life. I want to please him. I want to please him. All right? So that's where that goes through. And apeliatos is the Greek name of reproach, which means without spot or blemish. And so we went through that up there. And I kind of got through the first part, the three things that I think that helps us get there to that above reproach status. And it's not like I said, it's not like we're going to try to achieve and work towards stuff to get there. It's because that's who we are. You know what I mean? It's not... It's a lifestyle. I don't know if y'all, Todd White, I used to watch over him a lot and just how his ministry has grown and stuff because he got born again just a little while before I did. And, I mean, he's a dark-skinned guy with long dreadlocks and stuff, but before then he had a little longer hair, and I had longer hair then when I was coming up out of the wilderness. I used to say I would like to be the long-haired preacher. Coming out of the wilderness, you know, so I had let my hair grow, and people think I was a musician or something when I was kind of saying, I can't play any instrument, man, but I'll tell you about Jesus. So somebody, I was in Nepal, and so somebody said, you remind me of Todd White. I said, I don't know who that is. Oh, you got to show, you got to know who he is, man. There's all kind of stuff happening around him. And I was like, well, I don't know him. Well, you get, so I got to looked him up and see who he was, and he was a believer, and he would go out, and he would just go. It wasn't like, and that's my point is that they would call him like a street evangelist. But he would come back and tell them, he's like, no, I'm not a street evangelist. This is my lifestyle. And that's what he named his ministry, lifestyles. Right? Just like the workout place, but it's lifestyle ministries. Because it's not us trying to perform and be a certain person. It's just who we are. You know, like that tree. It's going to produce, or that plant. It's going to produce what kind of flower that's in it. It's going to produce what kind of fruit that's growing on it. Whatever vegetable it's supposed to be. It's going to produce that. And if it doesn't produce what it's made to do, then something in the cultivation is off. Something in our life is off if we're not producing the fruit of the spirits of God. And not just a little bit of fruit. It said a lot. Look at John 15 over there. It kind of runs off of what we have. Let's get into the word right quick. I'm going to throw my glasses on just in case. We don't have to strive. It's not, if we're not producing what we're supposed to produce, it's not because of who we are. It's because of the cultivation. Yes, Mary.
And that both gets us off the hook and puts us on the hook. Because obedience to God means, in my personality type, I don't have to be the personality type that evangelizes. And also, you don't get a free pass if it's hard for you to talk to people. People that don't want to talk to people. Because if you're an introvert, you evangelize an introvert.
Well, what if you don't even have to speak at all? Yes. How do you handle situations? How you carry yourself? Listen, like the old pastor evangelist said, listen, whatever he said, I will preach this gospel, even if I got to say something. You know, you're always proclaiming the good news of Christ because of who he is to you. And that's it. That is it. In my walk, in my life, I can't tell you how to be a Christian. That's going to come out. You will be like him because you spent time with him. Look at people who've been married for 50, 60 years. Maybe you don't Pastor Terry and them. They look different, Brenda and Pastor Terry. Look at Doug and Vicky. Their mannerisms and how they roll with each other. You ever heard about the people and their pets? They start looking alike. Not calling y'all, you know, not saying that. But if you spend time with someone long enough, you take on their mannerisms. You start looking and being familiar and similar in your ways and actions. It just starts grafting together. You start knowing that with Christ, there's no downsides. But with my wife, I have downsides for her. I can't say about her. You know what I mean? And so that comes into play too. Anyway, look at John 15. You know, I think it's 16. It says this in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And whatever you should ask the Father in my name, it'll be done for you. Some version says that I have ordained you, and it will fruit that will what? That will last. It's not talking about winning souls. It's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. It's talking about the seed coming to fruition inside of you. You being fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You're producing the things of Jesus Christ with just doing what? Rooted. Why didn't the plant in the second soil, why didn't it produce fruit that lasts? He was not rooted. It wasn't rooted. In rooting means that you have went after Christ. You're following him. You're digging. You're in your word. You've been awed by him. You've had an encounter with him. You're following him. You're seeking him. And listen, being a follower, a lot of people say, man, I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. Well, and we teach our kids that too. You'll be a leader out there. But who's man enough to tell their boy out there on the basketball court, you'll be a good follower, now be a great follower, son. People look at you, who is this dude? What are you doing? Even the coach will probably say, please don't try to encourage my players. You know, when they're on the court, they're home, you're yours. If they're on the court, they're mine. I don't want to hear that kind of coaching around here. But is that not the essence of who we really are? We need to be that great follower. And that means, listen, not just walking right behind Jesus, not paying attention. You know, studying him. What did he do? What was his actions? What was his response? Why did he always give a question back instead of answering questions? Whoa, because he was the wisest man. People want to give that to Solomon. I ain't going to give that to Solomon. They forget about Jesus, I guess. Solomon was the wisest man that ever walked this earth. Can you retract that statement, please, sir? I object. I believe Jesus Christ walked this earth, too. And he was 100% man, but he was 100% God, too. He had all wisdom. So don't answer a fool for his folly. How many times do we fall into that situation? So number one was effort. So that's where we at. The effort. To live above reproach or to be blameless, we need to have an effort. We need to have a work ethic. We have to be disciplined. We have to make time to do things. But again, is it grudgingly that we would do these things? Because I know in school I wasn't the best student. I grudgingly did things because I didn't want to do it. I had no interest. I had no draw. You know what I'm saying? But how did it change when I met Jesus? Tremendously. It wasn't sports, which had all my attention growing up. If it was about sports, I could tell you all of it. When I was a little bitty boy, 3 years old, I was getting on. I could tell you Howard Cosell and Don Lipton, all them boys, you know what I mean? That's Monday Night Football. I'd get up, turn that little channel over to Channel 13, have that thing down low, sit right in front of them, watch Monday Night Football, everybody in the bed. I could tell you all the football teams, college, pros, coming up. I love football. I loved all sports, really, but football was my deal. So if it had anything to do with football, guess what it had? It had my attention, and it had my 100% effort I put in to know. As I grew up, I would read books about football players. I wouldn't read any other books. Tony Dorsett, he was one of my favorites ever. There's other ones, you know, coming up. But Tony was my point is this: if it didn't draw me, if it wasn't in my interest, I would not put forth effort to learn more about it. Golly. I don't even know how many weeks we're going to be able to do this. I don't know. They said maybe only 2 weeks. So effort is our number one. And I kind of broke that down a lot in the message. If not, y'all go back and deal it up. What I'm going to do for the next few weeks is come in on the next ones, that which is unity and intimacy. Which those two things are, there's your three. Effort, unity, and intimacy. That's what we're going to be focused on, and we're going to look back through the scriptures to see why all these things are. Now, as I was talking earlier about Genesis, that's where Genesis 4, 1 to 7, about Cain and Abel and the effort that they made. Why was Abel's accepted? Why was Cain's not? The effort. Why is things that we do, we feel like maybe not be accepted by God? Or why do we feel sometimes that we're not His? Because we allow the enemy to come in our life and provoke us to do the wrong thing or discourage us, put second thoughts. That's what he wants to do. You know what I mean? We second guess ourselves. But it's not in our effort for that part. It's in our effort because we need to understand who we are following. Right? That's who we are. And anything's going to try to come in and take you away from following Christ. In this world, it's broken. So guess what? You ever heard misery loves company? Guess what it wants to do? It wants to take you away. So when you're a little duckling following your mama, How'd the ducks go to the pond two at a time? Who's going to get God? Come on. The little stragglers, the one who's not putting forth effort, the ones who don't know how important it is to be close to mama. And the same thing with our walk with Christ. If we're not putting forth the effort to be up there close to him, we really don't really know him, number one. We need to pray for a stronger encounter, for a move of God to come in our life, so that that draw, that understanding of who he is, and man, you want to get right on up there. And I don't care what student thinks I'm a nerd. I'm going to be right there on the front row. You know what I mean? See, that was the thing I learned as I got up. My brother, my goodness, he was a daggone genius. He read books. I got a football every Christmas. Guess what he did? He didn't get just books. He got, what do you call it? Floppy, y'all old, ain't you? Like, volumes. What do you call that? Series. Yeah, he'd get series of books for Christmas. He wouldn't get one book. He'd have like 12 of them. And he'd have them read by the next weekend. That dude's got a vocabulary. He'll spit words out. Whoa, back up. What did you just say to me? I don't even know. What? But his career life took off too. He went in as an E3 in the Navy. And he is so smart. He became an O3 before he retired. He was what they call a Mustang. He went in as an unenlisted, whatever. He wasn't enlisted. I forgot how you say it. But then, before his career was over, they brought him back, sent him to officer school, and pushed him all the way through. And he retired as a lieutenant in the Navy. Sitting with a hefty retirement. I don't have a retirement plan. What benefit is it to put forth a little effort in doing what you're supposed to do? Well, the jury's still out, right? If we put forth our effort to get to where we're supposed to be, the rewards and the benefits that come from being above reproach, I like to say the rewards out of this world. We might not see the benefit at the time that we make a hard decision because we sell ourselves short because we did the right thing. We might not have made the money on this thing or whatever we're supposed to do, but we did the right thing. Did I come up off of it? No, not by the world's standards. But I don't operate by the world's standards. Will the reward come? Yeah. Because every step I take toward the Lord, he takes one in me. Does that make sense? And isn't that what we're after? Because is he everything? He is. He's all in all. So let's get ready to close. As I hate to, I got children's church too, so I'm on double duty today. Y'all ready? Come back next week and we'll get through. We'll touch up on effort, but we'll get into unity and finish that up. And intimacy is really the hinge of it all. Because if our intimacy is lacking, our effort and our unity is going to be not there either. Right? All right. So, Father, thank you once again for the love and life you've given us. Thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for coming in the flesh to appear to mankind, to let us know that you're not the invisible God, that you are visible for those who have eyes to see. Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear the words and the instructions that you have for us, Lord God, that we might learn more of you and be drawn more and have an effort put in our heart, Lord, to yearn and come after you, Lord, no matter what is coming after us to try to deter us from coming after you, Lord God, that we will do whatever it takes to get close enough to you that we are nestled in your feathers, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right.